Hope everyone's having a good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
God bless you all.
This will be a good one day. Thank you. I'm going to have it. Oh, sorry.
Let's just start off with a word of prayer. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this morning. We appreciate your love, your mercy, and grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've allowed us another opportunity, Lord, to serve you, Lord, and to give you glory and honor, Father God, through our lives. Lord, we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you bless this time now, Lord, and help us to receive something, Lord, that would be beneficial and helpful to us.
Yes.
And Lord, be our portion this morning, Lord. May you strengthen, Lord, Brother Wade there, Father, in the Philippines, Father, as he's ministered twice today, Lord. And pray, Lord, that you just strengthen his body and just help him to recoup, Father God, for his coming back on Tuesday, Lord, willing, Lord. Bless the people that are not here, Father. Bless those that are on their way. We just commit them into your hands. Commit this time into you now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, since it's St. Patrick's Day, I guess, read this little thing that Brother Joe's passing around. So that way, we appreciate him passing around the Gazette this morning. extra read all about it. Is that okay, Brother Joe?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It says here, green wasn't always the color of St. Patrick's Day. Paintings show the patron saint wearing blue robes, and the official color of the dormant order of St. Patrick was sky blue. In 1541, British monarch Henry VIII declared himself the King of Ireland and gave the country a royal blue coat of arms, but as this enchantment with British rule grew over the centuries, the Irish adopted green as a symbol of rebellion. Yeah. When you go back in history and you realize, why do we do the things we do today?
Yeah.
And then you go back, whoa. St. Patrick's Day used to be a solemn commemoration of the day he died. In 1927, Irish officials even banned the sale of alcohol on his name day, as well as on Christmas and Good Friday, partly at the insistence of the Catholic Church. Until the early 1960s, one of the only places you could buy a beer in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day was the well-attended Royal Dublin Dog Show. Commercial pressure led to the lifting of the ban in 1960. March 17th ranks fourth on the list of busiest holidays in America. It says here booziest.
Booziest.
Oh,
they're drinking their booze.
Yeah, okay. In America, behind New Year's Eve, Christmas, and the 4th of July, the drinks of choice around the world, okay. So, people are going to do what they want to do. And, but I'm so thankful that we celebrate a different occasion today, right? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, the believer. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many believe he's alive?
Amen.
He's alive and well. Amen. So, let's, we're going to read here from Romans chapter 8. And we're just going to have a responsive reading here for just a moment. And then we'll get to a little subject. I was going to go a certain direction this morning, but I didn't get time to get everything gathered together the way I wanted to, but so maybe at another time. So I decided to go this route instead. So let's read Romans chapter 8. You're welcome to look here or for your Bible. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
The Spirit is our spirit, that we are the children of God.
And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject to the same in hope.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us for groanings which cannot be uttered.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
And he knew that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that has risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come,
nor height, nor depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise God. I always receive comfort when I read those words. That was one of my favorite scriptures, because it gives us a hope. So it confirms that hope that's already should be laying in us. Amen. That none of these things, no matter what takes place, no matter what happens in our lives, they can't separate us from the love of God. They can't separate you from what God has already started in your soul. You see? That's eternal. And if it's eternal, that means it's an anchor that just can't be moved. You see? Satan would want to make you think that it's for a short time. God could take it away at any moment. God doesn't love you, God. But you see, when you have an anchor and you know whom you have believed, as Paul says, I know who I have believed.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm persuaded. When you're persuaded about something, nothing can keep that away from you. I mean, it can't take that away from you.
That's right.
I mean, I'm persuaded that, that my wife is my wife. Nobody could take that away from me. You can't tell me she's not your wife. You can't tell me she doesn't live in the house with you. She doesn't sleep in the same bed that you sleep in. Keep me awake for about an hour, two hours. Well, last night, I'm not fully there this morning because she stayed up last night watching Brother Wade in the Philippines. So, but at the same time, I understand it's because it was the anniversary of Brother Royal's meeting, and that's the church she grew up in before she came to America. So it's very dear to her heart, you know, it's very special. She wanted to watch it live. And of course, you know, Brother Wade was there ministering, so I'll give it to her. I went to bed late, and then of course, you know, a few hours later, you know, she was up. So every now and then I'd wake up and I'd hear Brother Wade. Then I'd go back to sleep, not hear him again. So, but anyways. But you know, saints, I know that that's my wife. You can't persuade me any other way. You know, you can't tell me that's Christine's not my wife, because I know that I know it. I know that she is. That's how we have to. That's how we have to see God in our lives. Amen. That you know that you know that you know that He's your Father, and that you are Him. Amen.
Amen.
And that He is you. Praise God that He's in you. Amen. That's how we have to stand on the Word in that way. Amen. And so much that it makes us act upon the Word.
Yes.
When you stand upon something and when you're really convinced on something, you act upon that, right?
Right.
Right? I know she's my wife, and that's the reason why I do husband type things for her, right? Because I know she's my wife. Yes. But if she's not my wife, I wouldn't do. There's certain things I wouldn't do, you see? If I knew for sure she wasn't my wife, but I know for a fact that she's my wife, and I'll act upon that. You see, so there's that's how we have to see God in our life. Amen. And saints, you know, as we were reading here just a while ago, the earth, and that's what I was looking at. I've been looking at in a couple of days, just kind of thinking how the earth was cursed. Because of man's decision there in the Garden of Eden, right? You know, Adam wasn't cursed. It was the earth that was cursed. You see, the ground, and because of that curse, thorns and thistles came about. Now, those thorns and thistles were not there to kill the man. Rather, you don't get killed by a thorn and a thistle, right? You don't die if you get poked by a thorn and thistle. But those thorns, it hurts. It hurts, but those thorns and thistles were there to constantly keep a reminder to man that where they came from, they're a fallen condition. They're in a fallen condition, and God had to come in and some way or another. And remember when Christ was crowned with a crown of thorns? Amen. He took all those thorns, all that sin, all that. In other words, I'm liberating everything, even from that. Amen. It's going to liberate your whole earth. You see, and I know Brother Brandon preached the future home, and he talked about how the earth is not going to be at one point in time, because thorns and thistles weren't in the original creation.
Right.
You see, thorns and thistles came about after man sinned. So it's so interesting how he was crowned with a crown of thorns to let us know, hey, it's all on me. It's all going back.
Yes.
He's the head, right? And just thinking about that and how God is, you know, those little things are in the scripture like that for a reason. You know, you think, oh, crown of thorns is there to, you know, for pain and suffering, but that had a symbol. And Romans are there. Doing what they were doing to Christ, not knowing they were fulfilling bigger scriptures, you know, and things as such. So it's amazing how God does things in the scripture. And we just take some time and pay attention to the certain details of the word, Amen. And just think. Sometimes, you know, even Brother Branham says this. Sometimes as we're praying, God just is one of the best times that I'll get like thoughts that just come to mind. You know, just, I guess if you can say revelation, you know.
Amen.
I've gotten sermons just out of praying.
Yes.
You know? And you're like, wow, yeah, I didn't see that before. Why? It's because how Paul, as Paul was saying here, sometimes you don't know what to pray about. But it's the Spirit that's groaning within you.
Right.
Just as the creation and the creature is groaning, we are groaning as well. Because we have a connection to this earth, right? Amen. We have a connection to the creature. We have a connection to it. Out of the dust we came, and right now, the dust we will go, you know, in the current sinful state that our bodies are in, right?
Yes, that's right.
But we have a connection with it. But sometimes we don't know what we need to pray for, right?
Right.
But he knows.
Amen.
So if you get in the Spirit as you pray, all of a sudden, just things start flowing, and you don't even know. You don't even know. Oh my goodness! I didn't even know that was laying there. But it's God.
Right.
If God lays in you, you know, if He's dwelling in you, He'll give you. He'll let you know what you need. Sometimes we think we need something. In reality, we need something else.
Yeah.
That'll lead to minister to that specific point that you think that you need.
Amen.
We think that God needs to do it as this certain way, you know. But in reality, God knows the way exact to minister to that specific need.
Yes.
See,
yeah.
So we just appreciate the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to go here to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And it says here in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Remember in the last scripture we just talked about hope, right? There's that hope within us that we're not going to live, you know, in this pest house, in this condition, right? And because we're groaning for that, that means that has to be out there for us, you see? Otherwise, our bodies wouldn't be calling for that. Remember how Brother Branham talked about the little boy who was eating the pedals off the bicycles?
Mm-hmm.
Because his body was needing sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
And your body will tell you, if you need a certain nutrient in your body, it'll tell you, hey, you need this. It'll start, something will start coming out of your skin or something. It'll tell you, hey, you need such and such a nutrient. Or and because if that nutrient wasn't available, if that nutrient wasn't available, it wouldn't be giving you that sign, right?
Right.
But because that nutrient is available for you, or that thing is available for you, then that's the reason why you're getting that sign, you see?
Right.
Are you getting? That's why the boy was eating the pedals off of the bicycle, because he was needing sulfur. So we have a hope. We're desiring more than this, than what we currently have, right?
Yes.
Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Look how Paul says, we glory in tribulations. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Sometimes we think tribulations is just, you know, what the martyrs went through when they were being ripped apart by horses and things like that. But you know, you could be going through a personal tribulation in your life.
That's right.
But Paul says here, we glory in them. Oh, because there's a bigger picture.
Yes. Right.
There's a bigger picture. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Right.
And patience, experience. And experience, hope. A hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, sometimes Jesus, he allows us, you know, to go through pain, shame, suffering, because he knows what our expected end will be, right? Mm-hmm. He wouldn't give you something that you can't bear.
That's right.
He wouldn't allow for you to go through something that you're not going to be able to go through.
That's right.
That would be unjust for him to do that, right?
That's right.
What an unjust God they would be if he puts you through something that you can't, that he knows himself you're not going to be able to make it through.
Right.
But because you go through something in life, it's because he has so much confidence in you that you know that you can go through that.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
That's why Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Right? Saith the Lord. Says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. See, to God it's expected. He knows what the outcome is going to be. To him, it's not a surprise.
That's right.
To you and me, it's a surprise.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. But to him, it's no surprise at all.
That's right.
Why? Because it's an expected end. If him knowing the beginning from the end, what would something that takes place in our life, what would it take him by surprise?
That's right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't do one thing. He just knows. He knows what the outcome is going to be.
Exactly.
And so he's smiling about it, knowing there's going to be a good outcome about this.
Yes.
Right? It's molding a character in my sons and my daughters.
Right.
It's molding a patience, it's molding experience, it's molding a hope in them that they didn't have before. Right? So the events in your life, you know, they're expected by God. Colossians 3:3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God."
Yes.
See, your life should be so hid in Christ, with God,
right.
In the anointing, right?
Right.
With God.
Amen.
That Satan can't even find it.
Amen.
Should be so hidden. That's how hid you are. So if something's happening in your life, you're already hid in Christ.
That's right.
You're already hid in Christ. Christ already has you covered.
Right.
You see, when something's happening in your life.
Amen.
And, you know, God has a vision for each and every one of us. And He knows what it will take to get us to that place.
Yes.
Amen. He knows exactly what you need. You know, when a potter is working with clay, he's not sitting there treating that clay all nice and all smooth and all, you know, this way I'm going to, a vase is going to come out of just me, you know, kind of like rubbing a cat, you know. You know, there's going to be a vase to come out of this. And he's in there, you think the vase is going to come out of him just sitting there doing that? No. Or a beautiful, you know, something. Nothing like that is going to come out of a real potter now.
Yes, right.
That's right.
You know, a real potter. A fake potter, maybe, you know. He'll probably show you. Yeah, I know how to do things. I'll make a vase. The vase never comes out. Right? But a true potter, he looks. A true potter already has in his mind the end goal.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's what's motivating him to do what he's doing.
Right.
And so he's taking water. He takes mud, mud and clay out of the ground, and dumps it on the, and starts shaping this thing on the potter's wheel, and starts going. I mean, he's moving, and he's squeezing, and he's using his hands. Why? Because he's a true potter, and he knows exactly what needs to happen in order to mold that into what he already knows that it's going to be.
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. And the clay is probably, why are you doing this to me? Not there, no!
No.
But that's where he needs you in order to build that beautiful little part that maybe that little side, the handle, you know?
Yeah.
He needs to do that
right.
in order to build that little handle in your life, right?
Exactly.
And so, that's why I think it's the scripture that says, can the clay say to the potter, don't do this to me?
Right.
No, they can't. So what's the best thing for you to do? It's just to submit to Him.
Exactly.
Submit to what is going on in your life. Submit to what is happening because God is in full control. It didn't take Him by surprise.
That's right.
He knew it from before the foundation of the world.
Exactly.
And so if He knows it from the foundation of the world, why are we get so alarmed? I understand we get alarmed and we get humanly speaking, we do. And that's going to happen, right?
Right.
That's true.
That's going to happen. But then we have to reflect and see the bigger picture,
yes.
right?
Yes.
We have to stop and say, what's the bigger picture
yes.
here? And ultimately, if it's happening to you, God is only concerned about fulfilling His word,
yes.
right?
Amen.
And so if it's happening in your life, God, that means God is concerned about fulfilling His word in your life. Amen? So pain, amen. If I guess I could give this a title, The Purpose of Pain in a Christian's Life. Because pain is part of that vision that God has.
Amen.
Pain has to come.
Yes.
Right? You know, they say no pain, no gain.
That's right.
Right.
If you don't sacrifice anything in your life,
right.
sometimes we need to let our children experience certain things in life.
Exactly.
So that they can understand what it means to be in that condition and I can come out of that. You see? But if we don't let our children experience anything bad in our lives and things like that, they're never going to grow up and learn anything.
Yeah.
We need to let them sometimes experience. They're going through that in their life. You pray for them. You led them to a certain point. But now, God, you have to do the rest.
Yes.
Right.
You see? I can't be there, you know. Sometimes Bella, she's getting older, and Zoe's getting older, and I can't be there 24/7 with them, right?
Right.
And they make mistakes, and then they come back. Bella, sometimes I'll pick her up from school, and she comes back maybe crying, and I say, "What's?" And the best thing for you to do as a father, as a parent, just listen to them, just talk with them, you know. And just say, what's going on? And they'll start pouring their heart out to you.
Right.
And then you realize, obviously, it's something. Oh, my gosh. But to them, it's real.
Right.
To them, it's a pain. To them, it's something. And but because you should have more maturity to see it that way. You know, so because they're coming to you for help, right? Because
right.
they see you as a guide,
mm-hmm.
right? We're their guide until they get the Holy Ghost, right?
Yeah.
They come to you with this pain in their life, something that happened to them if you're not there to listen to them, you know, and to guide them scripturally, you know, they're gonna go off and listen to somebody else or tell it to somebody else, a friend or something. They want to be heard, right?
Yeah.
So pain. But in going back to that, but sometimes they need, in your mind you're thinking, but you know what, they need to go through that.
Yeah.
They need to have experienced that, because when they get to be alone on their own, you know, you can't be there for them, right?
Right.
So every time. So when they get to be there on their own. So God is molding us in that same way.
Yes.
We think we're mature, and we think we're, and we are all Muslim, you know, the older ones here, obviously they're more mature than I am, and some, all of us are in different levels of maturity, but you see, God knows better than we do. And you might be a certain age, but God knows exactly what else you need in your life to get you to where He has envisioned before the foundation of it. And you can be 75, 80, you can be 50, you can be 21, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you're still here on this earth, that means God's not done with you.
Right.
That's right.
That means you still need to fulfill something in your life,
yes.
and you still need to grow.
Amen.
Right? We're still grown. And it's like a story that I was reading about a bear that was caught in a trap. You know, a bear that a hunter, you know, he's caught in a trap. The bear is caught in a trap, and a kind hunter, he wants to go help free the bear. And the bear is there racked in pain. You know, he's in pain. But the hunter, all he wants to do is go and help him out. But as he's trying to take the trap off of him, the bear thinks that he's trying to hurt him even more, because he feels the pain even more. And the bear, and the nose, you know, and he's trying to take. And so the hunter's like, the only thing I could do is tranquilize him, you know. So he takes the gun out, you know, and the bear screams out even more, you know. But the bear's not realizing that all the hunter wanted to do is just to help him. All the hunter wants to do is to get him to an expected end, right? And it's painful. It's painful. But as I always say, problems have a beginning and they have an end. They're not eternal. God's eternal. Right?
Yes.
Problems are not eternal. Problems have a beginning and they have an end. So, Psalms 23 says, what time we got? Got a couple more minutes. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So if the Lord is our shepherd, a sheep puts full confidence in his pastor.
Yes.
Right? In his shepherd.
Yes.
That's what a sheep does.
Yes.
I'm confident that as soon as I hear the voice of my shepherd, I go to him. Mm-hmm. And if he's dropped us off here to eat grass, I'm confident that he knows what he's doing.
Right.
And if he's left, he's walked over there and he's not around, I just keep my eyes on him as I'm eating.
Yes, right.
But I'm confident that he knows what he's doing. Right?
Right.
Amen. So it's amazing how David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In other words, there's nothing that I will lack in my life because he's my shepherd, right? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me, you see? He leads me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, when you have that in your mind, you're thinking peace. You're thinking comfort. You're thinking rest, right? He leads me beside the still waters. Amen. He restores my soul. Amen. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Not that you will be with me, but you are with me. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, before my enemies, before my problems, I'm still eating good as far as spiritual. You know, I'm still enjoying the benefits of God, even though these problems all surround me.
Right, that's right.
None of these things can overtake me because I'm in the shepherd's hands, right?
That's right?
Before me in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In the midst of trials, in the midst of problems, in the shadow of the valley of death, and your cup can run over?
That's right.
That's what David's saying.
That's right.
Right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, even in those days where problems are just up to here.
Exactly.
And you're drowning in problems and issues.
Yes.
Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Go ahead, Sister John.
That Psalms 23 took me to Lehman Brothers. All the time. I would be in conference, I would have seminars, and I had that, and that would. The 23 took me to Lehman. I mean, I'm telling you, that's my favorite friend. I used to be in big conferences. You had a big seminar that you were doing, and I would stand up there in my mind.
That thing would.
You
know what? Maybe me and Bob need to do that when we have to go to meetings and stuff at work.
Presentation, they already against you because they don't want the program no way. Yeah. They don't want the system. They already have made up in their mind what they're going to do. But you sit there and you have it. The 23rd Psalm took me through all of it. Question and stuff, 23rd, that thing worked.
That's good. See, it's what you use it for. But that was an enemy in her life. So it worked for her.
Yes, it did.
Right? That's how you take the word, amen?
It works.
That's why we read in Romans, you know, who shall separate us from the love of God?
Yes.
Nothing in this life. We're in Christ, nothing.
Amen.
So sometimes God allows us to make a fool of ourselves so that we can understand what His perfect will is for us.
Yeah.
Kind of like a one-way door-mouse trap, you know? You know, you think you got it all figured out. So you go right in. Oh, this is wonderful in here. All right, it's time for me to get out. It's not so easy now to get out, is it? You thought you knew. You thought you had it all figured out. Well, how am I going to get out of this, Lord? Well, and the Lord allows for you to go through those one-way door traps.
Yeah.
Not really a trap, but it's a position, it's a place where He's trying to put you in to make you realize, listen, you don't know everything. You need me.
Right.
I know everything. God, you don't. You need me. You're in a tight position right now. Let me open the door for you. And then you realize, oh God, I should have trusted you all along. Amen. So that's the permissive will versus His perfect will, right? God allows, He'll allow you to go through things in life and for you to realize, okay, in that position, I know that he or she is going to come out knowing this, realizing this. That's why I've had times where I've had to let Bella just go, okay, go ahead. You're right. Sometimes, you know, she'll be like, Papi, in school, such and such and such. And I know in my mind, and my wife knows, I know in my mind it's not that way. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And then the next day she gets to school. Yeah, Papi, yeah, it wasn't that the way I thought it was staying, you know. I wanted you to realize it on your own. That's the best way, you know, for people to learn lessons instead of you being on top of them all the time, you know.
Right.
It's let them go through it on their own.
Right.
That's what my mom and dad did to me. And look at the way I came out. But saints, really, my mom and my dad, when we came to the States, I was 7 years old. My mom and dad didn't know how to speak English. Didn't know. All of my dad knew was just to go work and to raise his family. And my mom was working as well. A lot of times, me and my sisters, we had to just fend for ourselves.
Right.
We had to learn English, not knowing any bit of English when we came to the United States. I was 7 years old. We were in the house. We had to do chores around the house. And I'm talking about not just go clean your room. I'm talking about we had to go in and wash the bathtub, wash pots and pans and things like that. Because my mom and my dad, they had a longer vision of things. You see, a bigger vision. It wasn't just, oh, I don't want to do this to my child. It was a bigger vision. You see?
Exactly.
By them going through those experiences, they're going to learn bigger things in life.
That's right.
And be more responsible in life and become something in life. You see?
Right.
And that's the same thing with God and you. God's not feeling bad what you're going through right now.
Right.
He understands.
Yeah.
He's looking at the outcome. He's not looking at what you're going through right now. He's looking at the outcome. And so my mom and dad, she has no regrets that she made us do chores around the house and things like that. And then, I had to, there's things that I just had to do, that I just had to learn how to do, you know.
Yeah.
I'm in a new country. Grew up, was born in a totally different country and come to the States not knowing anything. And there's things my mom and dad couldn't help us with. My mom and dad couldn't help me with school. Right. They didn't know the English language.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I had to understand, learn, and learn how to ask my teacher, can you help me with this? Because I don't know. I don't understand. You see? So it's not bad for you to have to go through something in life. You'll understand later why. You realize, this is why I had to go through that. Because I now know this.
Yeah.
God's taking you through steps every way. Amen? And, just to finish with this, Brother Branham, remember when he went hunting that one time when he was on his honeymoon with his wife and Billy Paul? Remember that?
Yeah.
He said, well, I'm going to be on the honeymoon, so I'm going to go hunting at the same time. And I thought I was a woodsman, a hunter.
Yeah.
And he realized he was lost. And it had to come to a point where, like, that he had to say, Lord, I'm lost. Can you help me? Because my wife and my child, they're down there at the bottom of this mountain waiting for me. I need to get back to them. But God knew where he was at. He just wanted him to know where he was at. To a point where he needs to know where he's at. And God said, okay, I can lead you out now. So that's the same thing with us. That's the purpose of pain in our lives. Amen. So I hope you get something out of it, and just be prayerful. Just continue believing God's promises for your life. Amen. No matter what you're going through. God bless you.